Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I mentioned when we started this series a few on Vision Sunday that at a certain point we would be diving into practical type messages about, and the Lord's blessed the last 2 weeks. I know He has when we talked about Paul and the shipwrecks, and you know, I believe that God is with me. But I said we're going to be talking about what we believe as Christians and really as a church, what we believe when it comes to doctrine. And I'd be the first to admit that when it comes to doctrine and the study of the Word of God, when it comes to doctrine, my heart lends itself more to I love to preach about, man, making through trials, and you can make it, because I know that's very applicable to all of us at any given time. But the truth is, it's important in a church and for a pastor to not just preach, hey, life's hard and you can make it, although that will be preached a lot. But sometimes, and oftentimes, it's important as a pastor and as a church for you to hear the preaching of God's words that goes a little bit deeper. And you know me, I'm a bottom shelf kind of guy. Not because I think you guys need it, but because I know that's where I'm at. So this morning's message, and really for the next few weeks, I'll try to make it as interesting as possible. And I believe it is interesting. I believe that the doctrines of God and the Word of God is interesting, and it should be something that you're excited to listen to. But we're going to be talking about some of the beliefs and doctrines that we believe as Christians. And today, the message is simply, when we talk about I believe, is I believe, and we just read this scripture, John 14:6, I believe that salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. That is the message for this morning. That's the heart of the sermon today. When we're talking about I believe, listen, as Christians, we talk about getting saved, and I know I got saved when I was 10 years old. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. The truth is, many people believe that there are multiple paths to God. You could go anywhere and find anybody, and they say, well, yeah, I this is the way I want to get to God. Or I believe, you know, whatever you believe, you should believe it with all your heart, and that'll get you. People believe that there are different paths to God, but Jesus makes it very clear as He's speaking to His disciples in John 14. He, Jesus, is the only way to heaven. He's the only way to salvation. And today, we're going to really go through salvation and look at the Scriptures. And I hope that you either have a Bible or you have your phone Bible app open, or you can use one of the Bibles below, because we're going to be turning to some Scriptures this morning. And I want you to yourself read them, not just listen to me read, but to find them and read them as well. We're going to be looking at the gospel of Jesus Christ and why we believe that salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone. I was a young boy. I grew, like I mentioned earlier in the service, I grew up in church. I heard the gospel multiple times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night. We had Tuesday night service, and I heard the gospel so much, but it came to a point in my life as a 10, 11-year-old boy that I realized that I was a sinner and needed Jesus. And I remember clear as day walking down that aisle of that small Baptist church in Westfield, horrible blue carpets. This is a better blue at our church. And it was chairs like this, but they were also light blue. And style-wise, you wouldn't like it. But the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached. And as a young boy, I knew I needed Jesus. And that was the only way. Imagine you're standing at a fork in the road, and there's several signs pointing in different directions. And some roads might look easier. If you're on a hike and there's, you know, one path going, and there's all these extra mountains and hills and things like that, and there's one that's clear, some may seem easier, some may seem more popular, but only one of those paths, only one of those signs and one of those paths leads to the destination that you're trying to get to. And that's how salvation works. Only Jesus leads to eternal life. That's the truth. That's the I believe for today is salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. It does not come through church attendance. It does not come because your mom and dad were saved or because your grandfather was a preacher. That doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You're not going to heaven because you're a really good person. And the scriptures say that there's none good and there's none that doeth good and there's none righteous, no, not one. But you may have some good morals and be a really nice person. That doesn't get you to heaven. You may give your tithes and offerings every single week. You may donate to charity. You may help the old ladies cross the street. That does not get you to heaven. There is only one way to heaven, only one way to eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ. So four things today, we're going to look through them, and we'll be through. And I hope, maybe for some of you, and I've shared these truths many times, but maybe today it'll mean a little bit more to you. Let's look at a few things this morning. We're going to look first at the problem. What's the problem? The problem is our condition in sin. Romans 3:23, and if you have your Bible, why don't you go to Romans chapter 3. If you were in John 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans 3 and verse 23, and this is what the scripture says. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We are all sinners. Sin has corrupted every human heart since the fall of Adam in the garden. Everybody's a sinner. Even your sweet old granny is a sinner. Even my precious little boy, Brady, who's the sweetest kid you will ever meet in your whole life, is a sinner. Every person on the face of the earth is a sinner. The scriptures say, and we believe the Bible. Okay, sooner or later, the message is going to be, I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It would have been a great one to start with. But the Bible is the Word of God. If the Scriptures say it, if God said it, I believe it. The Scriptures say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Adam sinned in the garden. Eve took of the fruit, ate it, and guess what? Then Adam did too. The one rule God gave them, they broke, and sin entered into human nature. So everybody born after Adam is a sinner. No amount of good works can erase our sin or make us worthy of heaven. Sin separates us from God. So if we die in our sins without Jesus Christ, the scriptures say that we will spend an eternity in a place called hell. And that's not good news. Pastors and churches don't like talking about hell, but hell is just as real as heaven. This is what the scriptures say. I'm going to preach the word of God. And if we die without Jesus Christ, then eternity in hell is what awaits us. And we may say, well, how could a loving God send somebody to hell? How could a God that we talk about is God is love, how could he send anybody to hell? It's not God sending anybody to hell. No, God made a way. God, in love, gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to take upon our sins. Our sin is what put Jesus on the cross. So it's not God sending somebody to hell because he's mean. No, God made a way, a free gift of salvation. But many reject it. And then instead we want to say, well, God, so how could God ever do that? No, it's us. We send ourselves. No amount of good works can erase our sin, make us worthy of heaven. It's not a scale. All my good and bad weighed against each other. That'd be a tough way to live. If it was up to me to get to heaven, woof, I don't have much faith in myself because I can be a real jerk. Listen, you drive with me a little bit in traffic. You'll know, man, you can't get to heaven that way, brother. Come on. No way, man. I can be selfish. I can be lazy. I can be impatient. I can be apathetic. I can be fill in the blank. My good works weighed against my bad and sin, oh man, sin's going to win every time. So thank God it's not up to me. Because of our sin, we're spiritually dead, separated from God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. I mean, the sin is... Listen, I got four boys, and I'm also a son. And I know for a fact that when I was a teenager and being a punk to my dad and sneaking this and doing this, when there was sin, when there was something, when I was disobeying my dad, I knew I was. I mean, our relationship was a little fractured. It was fractured. Now, I was always going to be his son, but those who don't know Jesus, man, sin, we need forgiveness. We need the grace of God. Sin separates us from God. If you break the law, there is a penalty. I've been pulled over for speeding before. I've been pulled over for a bad inspection sticker, you know, that I didn't get. Listen, you break the law, there's a penalty. A judge cannot overlook a crime just because you've done some good things. If I rob a bank and I'm in court and I'm getting ready to be sentenced and the judge says, do you have anything to say for yourself? I say, well, you know what, judge? I may have robbed that bank and held up all those people hostage, but I donated to that charity at Stop and Shop when they say, would you like to add 38 cents to finish your bill? I do that every single time. And you know, one time this guy cut me off and I didn't cuss him out that time, you know? And you know what else? You know what else? When someone looks at me and smiles, I smile back. And you know what else? And we name all these good things that we've done in our lives and we say, well, see, judge, he's gonna say, well, that's real nice, but you still robbed that bank, you're still going to jail. And likewise, God is loving, but God is just. He's a just God. And sin must be judged. I hate to tell you, sin must be judged. So we see the problem, our condition in sin. We are born sinners in need of something, a way out. And that's where we find the payment. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the payment, his sacrifice. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us. He proved his love toward us. He showed his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus' death on the cross wasn't just a symbol. It was a substitutionary payment for our sin. He took my place. That's the gospel. Jesus took my place on the cross. He lived a sinless life. Jesus, the Son of God, who was God, lived a sinless life and became the perfect sacrifice and died on a cross for the sins of the whole world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to turn there. You can turn there as well. 2 Corinthians. Some of you, I know you're new at turning, so I've been doing it. I used to do sword drills as a kid. You know, what's a sword drill? When I was a kid growing up in Christian school, private school, you know, we would do sword drills. Hold our Bible up, and they'd say, go to, you know, Psalms 52:1, charge. And then whoever got there first would stand up and read the verse. And so I'm pretty good. I could probably dominate in sword drills if we did it today. But I understand some of you didn't grow up that way, so getting there takes a little bit longer. Unless you have a phone, then you can just type it in. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says this. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. God made his Son to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus became sin. The one thing that sends us to hell, Jesus became that for you and me. That's love. That's the love of Christ, the love of God. His resurrection, though, when he rose again in a couple months, we're going to be celebrating Easter, Resurrection Sunday. His resurrection, yes, he died on a cross, but his resurrection proves that his payment, his death on the cross, that payment for my sin, for the sin of the world, that resurrection proves that the payment was accepted and that he has conquered death. 1 Corinthians, we were just in 2nd, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4 says this, for I delivered, this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Yes, Jesus literally died on a cross. By the way, these stories of Christ are not stories that we just tell that have been passed down and they're legends. No, this is true, factual things. Jesus, the Son of God, died on an actual cross, was laid in an actual tomb, and literally rose again from the dead 3 days later. And his resurrection from the grave proves that his death on the cross was accepted by God the Father in exchange for us. I got two envelopes here today. One says sin, and one says righteousness. Now, I was born carrying this. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is my story. I'm a sinner. I was born with sin. Listen, ask my parents. I definitely was a sinner. Still am. I'm not perfect. We carry sin. Same with you. You have the same thing born into us. And Jesus, who was the Son of God, who was God, obviously, carried this one. He didn't sin. He just lived a sinless life. He did what nobody else, no human could ever do. He lived a perfect life. But what happened at the cross is that Jesus took my sin and yours and the sins of the whole world and took it upon himself. Truth is, I deserve to be up here. I deserve to be mocked, spit upon, and nailed to a cross for my sins against God. But Jesus took the sins, not just of me, but of the whole world, upon himself, so that I, now, in the eyes of God, could wear this one. So that when God looks at me now, and this might not stick and that's okay, but when God looks at me now, he doesn't see what I was born with. He doesn't see all that sin that I had and committed. No. When God looks at me, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen, I've made mistakes. I've sinned. Man, I have so many regrets. I wish I had lived so differently. But when God looks at me, no longer does he see all those sins that I committed, all those wrongs that I did, all the times I went against God and lived for myself alone. No, when God looks at me because of what Jesus did and my faith in Jesus Christ and the gospel, when God looks at me now, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, place your faith in the finished work of Jesus. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin, your past. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That perfect, sinless life, Jesus made a way. Thank God for that righteousness. So I'll challenge you this morning to trust. Listen, we talked about the problem. Our sin. Yes, you got to recognize that. You got to understand that you are a sinner. That apart from Christ, we are hopelessly lost in sin. But he did pay the price. He took our sin upon himself. It's kind of a hard image to think about. All that Jesus went through is because of my sin, because of your sin. Sins of the whole world. But we got to trust in the finished work of Christ, not in our own efforts. Not in our own efforts to save ourselves, no, but in what Jesus did. I believe that the only way to heaven, to eternal life, is through Jesus Christ alone. And we see not just the problem and the payment, but the pathway. Ephesians chapter 2. If you were in 1 and 2 Corinthians, just a few more books over. It's actually the 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. It's in the New Testament. I don't have them on the screen, so try to look at it, look along with it. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read a few scriptures up into verse 8. I have verse 8 now, but I'm going to read the other ones too. And this is what the scriptures say in Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4 says this, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Dead in our sins, but God made a way through Jesus Christ. And verse 8 says this, for by grace are ye saved. And that through faith, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, not in our own works, not in our own efforts, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, not of good works, not all the good works, not of works, lest any man should boast. The grace of God that sent Jesus, his son, to die for us, and our faith in what Jesus did, that he died and rose again. His grace, our faith in him, is what saves us, is what converts us. Salvation is not about what we do. I got to do this and this and this and this and this, and then I'm saved. No, salvation is not about what we do. It's about what Jesus Christ has already done. I didn't have to die on a cross. You didn't. Jesus did it for us. Faith is not merely believing about Jesus, but it's placing full trust in Jesus and what he did. Religion says, do this and do this and do this, and then God will be happy with you. If you do all these things. If you grew up in the Catholic Church, that's the message. Hey, do this and all these Hail Marys and penance and all. And I don't even know a lot about the Catholic. I have family that grew up Catholic, and it was all about kind of checks and balances and weights, and religion says, do this, do this, do. And Jesus says, it's done. You don't have to do anything of your own efforts and good works to get to heaven. No, you just have to trust me and believe on me and place your faith in me, because I've already done the work. And that's the pathway. Listen, imagine you're drowning in the ocean, okay? And somebody throws you a life preserver or one of those little lifesaver rings. And you don't debate in that moment how strong you are or how far you can swim. You just take whatever comes your way. Man, I don't care what you throw. If it floats, I'm grabbing on to it. That's what faith in Jesus looks like. Grabbing hold of the only one who can save you. Listen, if you've never placed your faith in Christ alone, today's the day to do that, by the way. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus, if you've been trusting in your own actions to get you to heaven, today is the day to quit that and to trust in Jesus Christ. And with that pathway, the last one is the promise. We can have confidence in the finished work of Jesus. We can believe that once he saves me, John 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When we're saved, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, for eternal life, we're secure. There's a promise. We can have confidence in that Christ saved us. Our salvation is held by God, not by our own strength. Wouldn't it be terrible is after we place our faith in Christ, then we have to live and live a certain way to make sure that we stay saved? If we mess up, then we lose it. No. When we're saved, place our faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's not about us keeping up. It's about what Jesus did for us. What a life to live. Does that mean we don't, that we just can do whatever we want? No, I'm not saying. Listen, it won't change your standing with your eternity when you trust Christ. But listen, I want to have a good relationship with God. I want God to use my life. I want to be the dad and father I need to be. So yes, I will place my faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, for eternal life. But that doesn't mean I'm saved. Now I have eternity in heaven. Nothing can take that away. I'm secure. So I'm going to live however I want to. No. No, we should be that. Romans says, Paul said, should we sin that grace may abound? Like we can put grace in action? No, he said, God forbid. Don't do that. No, because he saved me. Because he saved my life and saved my soul. I want to live for him. My desire is to give him all that I have. We can have faith and confidence in our salvation. Salvation is eternal. It's not temporary or dependent upon your performance or my performance. God began the work of salvation and he will complete it. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, God has saved it and he will keep us. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. It's the only way. He's the only way to eternal life. My kids are, Brady's at the tail end of still wanting to hold my hand when we cross the street, which is crazy because I feel like it went by like that, man. So now like any chance we get, like if he grabs onto it, you know, Charlie's kind of right at that age where like, I think give or take, if he's in a good mood, you know, he may hold, but if we're all around his friends, like I don't even want to embarrass, he's going to be 10 years old. Brady doesn't care. Like sometimes I'll forget, like we'll be walking, he'll just grab him, like, oh, he's grabbed my hand, yes. Take as much as I can. A father holds his child's hand when we're crossing a busy street, and the child, Brady might think that he's holding on to me. Really, I'm holding on to him. And it's the father's grip, it's my grip that keeps him safe. And our salvation is secure. Not because we're holding on for dear life, but because God is holding on to us. So you need to rest in the assurance of your salvation. Maybe today you've never given your heart to Jesus like I'm talking about here. Today's the day to do it. Don't be embarrassed. Oh my goodness, I've been coming for so long. Listen, the best thing you could ever do with your life, with your soul, is to give your heart to Jesus Christ and accept his free gift of salvation. I don't care if there's no guests here today and everybody thinks you already know Christ. I was only 10, 11 years old and I'd already been baptized. I mean, I had made a profession of faith when I was like 5. I didn't remember anything and I knew I wasn't saved. And a lot of times my embarrassment of, oh, what if ever, and I was only a kid. So I know as an adult, sometimes we can unfortunately even get more insecure about it. And I didn't tell anybody that I gave my heart to Jesus till months later because I was so embarrassed. And guess what? When I told everybody was thrilled. So don't let fear or insecurity hold you back from giving your heart to Jesus Christ. Rest in the assurance of, and if you are saved, remember that it is God who's holding you and you can and should live boldly for Christ. A young boy once got lost in a large city. And like any of us would have done at that age, he panicked, unsure of where to go. There's cars flying by and big buildings and thousands of people, and he's nervous. And a kind stranger asked and said, do you know your way home? And the boy shook his head, probably a little defeated. But then he saw a great big cross on a church steeple in the distance. And he pointed and he said, well, take me there. If I can get to the cross, then I can find my way home. And that's the truth of the gospel, church. If you can get to the cross, if you can place your faith in Jesus Christ, if you can trust in his finished work, if you can get to the cross, you can find your way home. God, not only does he want to save your soul, but he wants to change your life. So yes, if you've never trusted Christ alone for salvation, today is the day to do that. If you are saved, but struggle with doubt, which, believe you me, I have, rest in his promises today. It is he who holds you, not the other way around. The devil would love to scream doubt in our ears. Oh, how could you be saved if you did this, this, and this? And it's time to, sometimes just time to say, hey, you know what, bro? Shut up. And fight that lie with the truth of the Word of God that says, I'm secure. I trusted him. I place my faith in Jesus Christ. So I don't care what you have to say, devil. And beyond that, church, if you know the truth, which is that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We know the truth. We know what's needed to get to heaven, to have eternal life, to have a relationship with God. If we know that truth, can I encourage you and challenge you as your pastor? And really, instead of just, how about asking the question, when's the last time that you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody else? When's the last time that you were talking to a friend or a stranger or somebody and said, hey, can I tell you about how God changed my life? You see, we're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for us. And there are people all around you that are in desperate need of a Savior, that are sin sick and on their way to a place called hell, and you have the way out. You have the answer. I'm convicted this morning. Yes, I have the opportunity to get up every Sunday and preach the Word of God and share the gospel with dozens of people and more. But aside from the house of God, I have to ask myself, Donna, when's the last time that you shared the gospel with somebody? Last time that you took a gospel tract, we have hundreds of them here, and gave it to someone and said, hey, here's some good news for you. I understand we don't always have all the time in the world to spend 15, 20 minutes sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing our story. I understand, but we do have 10 seconds to pass out a track. Jesus is the only way. And if we believe that, I hope you do, because that's the truth of the Word of God. We believe that. What are we doing with that truth? Man, you got the cure to cancer. You're not going to keep it to yourself. You're going to give it to as many people that need it. We have the cure for the condition of every lost person. And what are we doing with it? It's time, church. These messages on I believe that salvation comes. This is not just passing information along so that you can, you know, no. Yes, I want you to know it and believe it. But what are we going to do with that information? It's time to get busy giving out the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time to say, God, give me some boldness and courage because I want to be a gospel witness. I want to be a sower of the gospel that sows that seed. And sooner or later, some people may reject it. Some people may turn it away. Sooner or later, that seed's going to stick and things are going to grow. We have to get busy sharing the gospel. Sometimes sharing the gospel means bringing someone here with you. Say, man, I don't have a chance. Maybe they don't want to hear you say it, but you know if you can get their butt in that seat, they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've seen it happen. As far as I know, there's two people sitting here right here today that were invited by somebody else in the room who accepted Christ, who were baptized. It works. My brother Dan right here, just a simple invite. Hey, man, I would love to have you come visit the church. Dan's been here almost 3 years, my man. We've seen Grayson grow up. You guys invited Nate to come. We just baptized his daughter this past summer. You see what I'm getting at? We've got to get busy building the kingdom. Jesus is the only way. There's people out there outside these four walls that are trying every which way to find peace, joy, and some semblance of hope. And guess what? They're coming up short every single time. So let's give them the truth in love. We're no better than anybody else. Let's give them the truth in love. Jesus is what they need. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.